This program is brought to you by Fresh FM.
Hello and welcome to Top Writers. I'm Galen Pound, and in a few moments I will be talking to Nelson-based writer John Ewan. By the time John had left school, he'd had items published in New Zealand and Australian newspapers. But it wasn't until 1991 that his first book, Getting Started in Publicity, was published. In 2015, he published Porters in My Past, the story of three brothers, a farmer, a lawyer, and a surveyor, who came to New Zealand in the 1850s. The surveyor was his great-grandfather. In August this year, accidental immigrants, they sailed for India but settled in New Zealand. The story of his great-great-grandfather, Thomas Powell, and his family was published. Welcome to Top Writers, John.
And good morning, and thank you for your invitation.
What first sparked your interest in writing?
I can't remember back to when I first started. It goes back almost as long as I can remember. I think it started for real when I went to primary school and had to write one of those wretched essays that you read out to the class. And the teacher said, "What are you going to do when you leave school?" And I thought to myself quickly, "Oh, I'm going to be a writer." And I think that stayed with me ever since.
And you saw it through, which is great. Now, where do the ideas for your books come from?
Well, I was looking for an idea for something to write about, and I thought about my great-grandfather, David Porter. And I knew that there was a Porter's Pass in the South Island, and I knew David Porter was a surveyor, and I thought, I wonder if he surveyed that area, and I wonder if he named it after himself. Well, that's how little I knew about my family. And I found out that he had been nowhere near it, and the Porter's Pass was named after one of his brothers.
Right, now, it took you 5 years of writing and research for Porters in My Past. Can you please tell us a little about that book and what went into researching it?
Well, it started off as a search for my great-grandfather, and it turned out that there was more than a great-grandfather here. He had two brothers and other half-siblings came later on. So what started off as a fairly straightforward search turned out to be one that covered quite a lot of the country.
Now, in August this year, you had published another family history, Accidental Immigrants. They sailed for India but settled in New Zealand. What was the motivation for that book?
A gentleman called Wilmot Powell. When I was doing the Porter book, Wilmot's name kept cropping up. And he seemed to be in all sorts of things. And I thought to myself, crikey, a fellow doing all that sort of thing must be worth a book in his own. And I looked into the family and I found out that they had set out from Leeds and they'd gone to India, but they'd had a tragedy in India. And by sheer chance, they came on to New Zealand.
So do you actually travel around the country visiting these places where your ancestors were from, or...?
I've travelled mostly to Wellington, where there's a lot of material held in the libraries there, and to Whanganui, where the both families started.
Right, now, what are you going to read for us today?
I'm going to read from Accidental Immigrants. This is a story about one of the sons who was actually born in New Zealand, and he was among the people in Whanganui who got rugby started. So this was Charles Powell, and in 1879, Charles captained the Whanganui side to play Rangitiki on the old cricket ground. Apart from that, there were the usual round of novelty features. One match, for example, played in 1879, featured two Whanganui sides based entirely on alphabetical considerations. Those with surnames beginning with the letters in the range of A to L played against those with names between M and Y. Charles, being a P, captained the latter side. And again, the press announced the fixture in advance, but did not give the result. Sometimes these were presented as fun matches, such as the one the Herald previewed in these terms. "There will be some leather hunting tomorrow on the recreation reserve. fired with professional ardour and burning for the fray, the bankers and lawyers of Whanganui have challenged the world at large to a contest at rugby football. Nor is the world at large wanting in reciprocal ardour, and men mighty in the art of kicking will do battle. Charles was a member of the world team, which incidentally didn't extend far beyond the outskirts of Whanganui, and they will either carry away 1,000 bruises or perish in the attempt. A few years later, in 1883, Whanganui sent a team to play Nelson, requiring the players to travel overnight by sea. Charles scored a hotly disputed try. Strangely, no referee had been appointed. Each side had an umpire, and at some stage a Whanganui player was tackled heavily and had chloroform administered on the spot before being taken to hospital. But the strangest aspect of all was that the match report does not include a score. Maybe the game was indeed the thing. Getting to Nelson in the first place had been a bit of an effort. Larger cities had gate takings, but there was no such facility in Nelson, so players paid their own way with the help of donations from the public. A report in the home team's newspaper also failed to give the result. It merely said the game had attracted a good crowd to the botanical domain and proved the most unfortunate one we have had in Nelson. The reason for the lack of a result surfaced many years later in a reminiscence on Whanganui rugby. Referring to that 1883 match, a correspondent said the important appointment of a referee was not made, so that when a try was gained for Whanganui by C.V. Powell and the umpires differed, there was no resort but to abandon the game. However, a report that surfaced in Southern papers indicates that the match had been torrid from the start. The Nelson player mentioned above as injured actually broke his leg. The Whanganui captain was stunned and left the field but came back later. According to this report, when Charles' try was disallowed, the Whanganui side walked off.
Rugby's certainly changed a lot since then, hasn't it?
Yes, you wouldn't dare start anything without a rugby referee.
No. Why do you think people are fascinated with family history and that sort of thing?
Well, I've often wondered about that. We all want to know where we came from and who we were and who our parents were and their parents, etc., etc. I think the main thing is that we've probably been given an edited version of our ancestry. So when you come across them and you find that they are actually real people with their own faults and their own good points, they become very interesting and people that you'd like to have met.
And a lot of people kind of celebrate the fact they're related to Charles II or whatever, the cousin 12 times removed. Do you think people just want to have that sense of being related to somebody famous or...?
I think that's behind a lot of the looking back, but a lot of us have got to just assume that we are ordinary people.
Who sometimes do extraordinary things, like you writing about your family. Right, now writing family histories is not quite as easy as people might think. What are some tips and ideas that you could give people contemplating writing their family history so that it's readable, just not a list of facts?
Well, first of all, I'm not a historian and I'm not a genealogist, so I'm just a story writer. So from that perspective, I would suggest, one, start with yourself, write down your own dates, birth and marriage, and then put in those of any siblings, put down your parents and what you know about them, and then look to your wider family. They might have some different ideas about who your ancestors were. Get all their facts and figures down. They might differ from yours, but put it down. It'll sort itself out later on. The next thing I'd suggest you check the local library. There's good sources here and in Richmond libraries, and they're very helpful staff. They will help you look for what you want. And I think once you've done that, then start on the further back. Look at the computers, go for search engines, and I'd suggest you start in this part of the world with one called Papers Past, which has got newspaper clippings indexed, and you can just put names in, and you'll be surprised what you find.
Now, one thing I noticed when I was reading Porter's in my past is that everything is documented, everything you quote from, diaries and that. Now, did you do that at the end or did you do it while you were writing it?
I did it while I was writing, to let you into a little secret. That was a bit of a jigsaw puzzle. I wrote bits and then shuffled them around, and then when I got them into reasonable sequence, I then decided which order to make the book.
Right, and also the photos are documented, and I notice in a couple of the photos and Porter's in my past, you've got thought to be, this photo is thought to be of the old house. And
yes, unfortunately, and I think this goes for most families, we have large boxes of photographs and no names on them. And once you go past a couple of generations, nobody knows.
And we've all gone through that, going through our parents' photos and trying to work out which baby is which.
Yes.
Yes. So please, people out there, name the back of your photos. Right. What are you working on at the moment?
Well, I'm looking at several other aspects of the family. It seems to be a very scattered family. So I'm just toying up on that. And if anybody in the Porter or Powell family is listening, would really love to hear from you and pick your brains.
Okay, now the song you've chosen today is Fleetwood Mac's Albatross. What does this song mean to you?
Well, it means that things can last. The song's been around for about 50 years. When it first came out, it was a number one hit, and it's lasted. And I think it's lasted because, one, it was nicely written by a fellow called Peter Green, who was the founder of Fleetwood Mac. It's well played and it's beautifully recorded, and I think it sounds just as good today as it sounded when it was written.
Right, let's listen to Albatross.
Thank you.
I'm Galen Pound, and you have been listening to Top Writers. Thank you so much, John, for taking time to talk with us today. Now, your books are available from?
From all New Zealand bookshops. And if you have any difficulty, I'd suggest just put my name or the name of the book onto a Google search, and that will tell you the name of a bookshop you'll be able to buy it from online.
And if anybody has any information regarding the Powell and Porter family, please go to the Top of the South Writers website and you can contact John through that. Now, a podcast of this and previous programs, upcoming events and information about Top Writers can be found on www.topwriters.co.nz.
Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this program available through funding the Access Internet Radio Project. Cheers, New Zealand On Air.